welcome to Campaign 2015 here on KPTZ, 91.9 FM, Port Townsend, Washington. Tonight's debate, sponsored by the League of Women Voters, the American Association of University Women, and the Port Townsend Leader, focuses on the two races for hospital commissioner. In the first race, Chuck Russell, the incumbent, is running against Case Clough. And in the second race, incumbent Murray Dressler is running against Paul Stafford. We'll begin first with the candidate remarks, and here's Case Clough.
I worked for 17 years as medical director of CMAR Community Health Centers, bringing affordable care to underserved counties. I know we can do better in Jefferson County. We have failed to address our county's major health care priorities, affordable access to medical, dental, mental health, and drug abuse care. These were identified more than a year ago, and yet Jefferson Healthcare has only now begun to develop the required community health improvement plans. Jefferson Healthcare must remain financially strong, and at the same time must remember that it is a charity, which is its IRS classification. Thousands of our residents cannot get the care they need. Hundreds are hounded by collection agencies, and many go elsewhere for more affordable care. A clinic in Clallam County just recently received an $800,000 federal grant in order to hire five physicians to provide affordable care. We could do that here. Providers must be supported in order to assure quality, continuity, and cost-effective health care. Yet last year, fully 33% of Jefferson Healthcare physicians, quote, would not recommend working here, end quote. We must do better to retain and recruit good staff, not only providers, but support staff. Many people still cannot get appointments when they need them and have long delays, so we need to be more efficient and effective at getting people in who need care when they need it. Finally, Jefferson Healthcare needs something it does not yet have, a strategic plan with measurable objectives and deadlines that address all of these unresolved issues. I have the training, experience, and vision required to help build a financially sound hospital district where good staff want to stay and provide quality health care that people can afford. It's time for change. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chuck Russell.
My name is Chuck Russell. I'm running for re-election to the board. I've been a board member for 18 years. I think in the last 18 years, if you remember what the hospital was like 18 years ago, I think you've seen a great deal of change and a great deal of improvement, and I want to continue that. I want to see us through our current building program, which is a building program I'm quite proud of. We've done that without raising taxes, which is almost unheard of in a situation like this, but we did it the same way I would do it if I was expanding my business. We borrowed money, and we're going to pay it back over 30 years. Currently, Case was talking about the doctor survey that was taking place. It's a little bit, if you read it carefully, it's a little bit, doesn't quite sound like it is. There were 51 doctors that were surveyed. Only 24 of them responded, and the percentages that are given are percentages of the ones that responded, which changes the numbers quite a bit. You can check on that. I've had a lot of experience in my life, I think, that helps me to be a hospital commissioner. For one, I've owned and run a business in this county for 37 years successfully, the Valley Tavern out in Hadlock. And I think business experience is quite important in the kind of a situation hospitals are in now, especially. Small hospitals our size, are going out of business or are being taken over all over the state now. Even a lot larger hospital close to us, Harrison here, is no longer an independent, locally operated hospital. Its instructions come from Denver. Our hospital is still independent, even though we have an affiliation with Swedish. And that affiliation, my time is up. But that affiliation is not, they don't own us We pay them for that affiliation, and we get a lot from it.
Okay, now we're going to hear from East Jefferson County Hospital District Number 2, Position 4 candidates. Paul Stafford.
Hi, I'm Paul Stafford. I'm running to be your hospital commissioner. First of all, I'd like to thank all the current commissioners for the job they've been doing. It really is a pretty thankless task, and I know everyone is doing the best job they can. As the owner of William James Bookseller downtown, I talk to people in our community every day, and I hear about aspects of their life, including the healthcare challenges that they face. A common thing I hear is people talk about the difficulties they have making appointments, getting in to see providers, the challenges they have with both the cost and the complexity of the financial side of things. People tell me about members of their family needing dental care, mental health treatment, and addiction services. These are all things I think we could do better at Jefferson Healthcare. Ultimately, the role of the board is to provide governance and direction to the CEO. I believe the only way this can really be accomplished is by having clear, measurable goals so that things can be objectively determined whether or not successes are happening. As commissioner, I will work to create these measurable goals and make sure that we are providing governance to the district. One of the most important things any board can do is be thinking about the long term and the future beyond their own current terms. I believe the current agreement we have with Swedish and Providence regarding the Epic electronic medical record system is not in the best interest of the people of Jefferson County and needs to be addressed. If I am elected, I will work towards regaining local control of our medical records. Finally, I'd like to say healthcare is a complicated and messy business. It's a challenge, but if I'm elected, I will do my best to make sure that we all have access to high quality and affordable care. Thank you.
Mari Dressler.
Good evening. Thank you all for coming out. I know it's a nice evening and you could be enjoying a little bit of twilight time outside. As you can probably tell, I was born in England. I was raised there, educated there, became a registered nurse and a certified nurse midwife. I worked in a tertiary center in the University Maternity Hospital, delivering about 5,000 babies a year. And concurrent with this nursing career, I also worked in the family business and was a company director of that company for 15 years. So I have both a healthcare and a business experience. I'm in my first term, coming to the end of my first term as one of your commissioners, a representative of you all and trying to get the best that I can for your dollars and your health. I came to Port Townsend 34 years ago and was employed by Jefferson Healthcare for 26 years. I worked in the Family Birth Center, helping birth babies and growing the next generation of Jefferson County residents. After my mother's death, I returned back here to Port Townsend and decided I would run for the board because I always felt we could do better. And believe me, we are doing better despite what you've just been hearing. We hired CEO Mike Glenn. We've doubled reserves, and this is very important because financial instability has led to four of our local hospitals being taken over or merging with other larger hospitals. We're accredited by a national accreditation organization. We've received numerous awards and other accreditations for our quality and safety. We've started new services, the medical specialty clinic with wound care and infusion services, full-time, full-service medical oncology clinic with two oncologists and certified oncology nurses. We have cardiology services with a full-time cardiologist in Port Townsend and a specialist cardiac nurse as well as cardiac rehab. Echocardiography with two technologists is now here in Port Townsend. We've got 3D mammography, thanks to some people in the community through the Jefferson Healthcare Foundation and also through a grant. My time is up. My time is up, but I could keep going. We've done a lot of good things.
All right. Thank you very much. So the first question we have, and Case, if you'll start. Will you support legislation that would address issues of staffing, meal, and rest break, and mandatory overtime?
Absolutely. I think that it's pretty clear, in the healthcare literature, that you can't provide quality care, continuity of care, or cost-effective care if you don't have providers and nurses and their support staff that get adequate support in the workplace. And so I think that includes the kinds of breaks that any person working at the hospital needs in order for them to be able to do a good job. And I might add that in the survey that was done by the National Research Corporation, they've been working with the hospital for 2 years, since 2013. And they asked some questions about communication and how things work. They asked this of the physicians. And one of the questions was, at this organization, my patient load is never too high to provide the quality of care I strive for. The national average, according to National Research Corporation, and this is of 2,000 physicians countrywide, is 63% say that their patient care load is never too high. At Jefferson Healthcare, only 30% could say that it's never too high. So we have a problem of not honoring the work conditions that are conducive, not only for quality care, but for quality lifestyle for the employees at Jefferson Healthcare. And this is an issue that the board needs to deal with because the board is ultimately responsible. This is something they should put into their strategic plan with specific measurable objectives of improvement in the scores that this national corporation does gives you in terms of the required improvements.
Well, addressing again the national corporation that did this survey, 24 of our physicians responded to this survey, and in the answering of it, 24 of them said that, yes, we have patient-centric health care. That's 100% of the ones that responded. They said that there was less than half of the ones who responded did that. So it's by percentage that they're answering these questions, and it's very misleading. 24 of the people that responded, all 24 of the people that responded, said they would recommend health care at Jefferson for their friends and family. That's 100%. It's not 50%. It's the people that responded that made the difference, and I don't see why we keep hitting on this. Percentages aren't people. There were 52 people surveyed, and 24 of them responded. That's all I got to say for that.
Okay, Paul?
Can I have you repeat the question one more time there?
Yes. Will you support legislation that would address issues of staffing, meal, and rest break, and mandatory overtime?
Hi. Well, I'll give the short answer and say yes, and I presume this is from a point of view of doing all those things to make life better for the employees of Jefferson Healthcare. I guess there's two ways you could look at that. There could be some plot to make everybody work mandatory overtime, but I don't think that's what's meant here. The short answer, yes, absolutely. I think the employees need to be supported. They need to feel like they can have breaks, they can take time off. I think that's it. We'll leave more time for more questions.
Mari?
Thank you. Actually, I think this question relates to a bill that was before the House regarding breaks, I think, more for nurses and other employees. And it refers to a particular bill, which the board actually did not support. And the reason we didn't support it is because this was directed more towards larger hospitals, which have a lot more staff. This would have handcuffed our staff. And I can imagine as a nurse that if there was somebody needing help in the ED and I was on a mandatory break, or my patient was just about to deliver her baby and I was told it was my time to go, I would have had a conflict and I would have stayed with my patient. That's happened to me before. And I know it might seem a little incredible to some people, but that's exactly what's happened when you're nursing on the floor. And so that's why we didn't support it. However, if another bill came up which is more flexible and better for a small hospital like us where we have limited staff, then I think the board would probably take a different view.
Thank you. So the second question, we'll start with Chuck Russell. Second question is, please describe your vision of healthcare in Jefferson County in 5 years and in 10 years.
Well, my vision, for one thing, is we're still going to be here. My first campaign promise was I would not forget who I work for, and I work for the owners of the hospital, like anybody on a board of directors. And the owners of the hospital are you, the people of East Jefferson County. And I think it's very important that we keep in mind that the hospital isn't an automatic thing that's always here. The hospital has to survive. It has to survive financially and with the way the hospital is being run now, we have accumulated some money where we didn't have very much money accumulated at all in years past, and we were right on the edge of not being able to survive. So I'm very happy with the man we hired to run the hospital, Mike Glenn, and I consider that one of my greatest accomplishments since I've been a commissioner, is hiring that guy. I think he's doing an excellent job, and if we can keep him and keep up the attitude we have on the commission, we can have survival. Thank you.
Paul?
Hi. What I would like to see, I think, on both a 5-year and 10-year time frame is continuous improvement. To say there's any specific goal at each of those times, I think would be very, very challenging. But I would like over that time for us to see better access to health care and affordability. Most of all, people need to be able to get in to make appointments to see providers, and they need to be able to handle it financially when that happens. On a 10-year time frame, I would like to – I know that we're currently in the middle of a 7.5 years left, I believe, on our contract with Providence, and I would like to make sure that we are in a position so that when that expires, we have an exit strategy and know what we will be doing in the future.
Mari?
My feeling is that in 5, 10, 15 years' time, I still want us to be independent, locally controlled, still a public hospital district and not at the behest of people miles, hundreds of miles away who don't understand our community. Financial stability is very important, and the most of all is safe, quality health care to our community. And I agree with Paul, at an affordable price. And we have brought down prices in radiology, and we're working on doing more in price reduction because this has been an issue. Before I got on the board, the books used to be balanced by putting the prices up every year. And that's not the way to make a business work. So we're trying to bring the prices down. And I do agree with Paul on that. We'll do our best.
Thank you. Case?
Well, first of all, I agree that first and foremost, the hospital needs to exist and remain financially solvent and strong and independent from outside control of another organization or entity. Currently, there are work groups identifying or addressing the problems that were identified more than a year ago. Two of the four major health priorities were access to affordable mental health, drug abuse, primary care, and dental care. Those work groups need to develop a comprehensive plan and set goals for the next 1, 2, 5, 10 years. There are specific measures right now that we're updating that describe how many people cannot get the care that they need. And so depending upon what those work groups identify during the next couple of months, those are the goals that we really need to set in place. Finally, I think the only way that we can reach those goals is if we have a fully supported staff and physicians at Jefferson Healthcare. We can have fabulous facilities, and those are important. But unless we have providers who are adequately supported, they cannot provide the quality of care that we deserve in this county. Not only that, if we are recruiting additional providers, we need to have providers now who tell their peers, this is a good place to work. Come and work here. And in fact, the 47% of providers who responded in the survey, that's much better than the national average. Usually you only get 35% according to the National Research Corporation. So we did very well. And they rely on the statistics from their sampling from the people who respond in all of the work that they do.
Thank you.
You're listening to the debate amongst the candidates for Hospital Commissioner, Jefferson County. This is Campaign 2015, KPTZ 91.9 FM.
For our third question, I start with Paul Stafford. Given that a hospital single-payer system is a state or federal issue, how would you, as a commissioner, advocate for a change to single-payer?
Well, I think from what I understand, most everybody agrees on the table here that single-payer probably is the best ultimate solution to provide affordable health care. Where I think there are some differences lie is that I really believe that the way to do that is initially is to create such a plan at the state level. As commissioner, I would advocate to our legislators in Olympia to try to make this happen. Only through creating a plan like this at the state level could we even think about having such a thing happen than on at a federal level. I know last night Chuck made mention of wanting this to be done from Washington, D.C., that it can only be done federally. I think if we wait for that to happen, it's going to be a long time, and we should be able to try to take the lead and force this to happen.
Mari.
Well, I do agree with the question that it really is not in the role of the hospital commissioner to change the national or even the state method of healthcare. I agree that we single payer will be the ultimate and the best solution for the lot of the problems that we have. I've worked in single payer for 10 years, and it does work. However, the focus as a hospital commissioner is on the governance of the hospital district, and to my mind, it's not a waste of time, but it distracts us from and interferes with us providing the governance which the opponent on the end seems to think that we need. And so for a single-payer health system, with the governor already applying for a CMS $3 billion grant to fulfill the programs that he is introducing, there is absolutely no appetite in the state government. And when I was back in Washington, D.C., there's nothing on their radar at all except passing the budget.
Thank you. Keith?
Well, I agree that the absolute focus of the hospital commissioners has to be the survivability and the quality of care that's given here in Jefferson County. I have no question about that. That said, I believe that everyone should be advocating for a statewide, not just the hospital commissioners, but everyone in this room should be advocating for a statewide single-payer plan. That's the only way that we're going to get it in this country, is if a number of states, Vermont, Massachusetts, Washington, Oregon, California, all begin to show that that is the cost-effective way to provide health care for everyone. Only then will Washington, D.C. listen. Now, the hospital commissioners have the ear of legislators both here in Washington as well as in Washington, D.C. And so I'm not suggesting that we change the focus or the strategic plan. What I'm suggesting is that when we go and meet with legislators about other issues, that we continue to promote and to push for and tell them that we believe, given what we know about what our community needs in terms of affordable, accessible health care, that we are in favor of moving in that direction. And that's the role that I think the hospital commissioners should have, which is to take advantage of their unique position to discuss these issues with our legislated officials in Olympia and in Washington, D.C.
Thank you. Chuck?
Well, I'll jump on the bandwagon. I think single-payer health care is probably a very good idea and inevitable. But on a state level, it's not practical. We go to see the state legislators regularly 3 or 4 times a year and talk to them about it. It always comes up, and we always talk to them about it. A bill has been introduced in Olympia the last 2 sessions of the legislature, and both times it has died in committee. It hasn't even got to the floor. If one state does this, it would make the migrations that are taking place in Europe and Africa now look small. It's a problem to try to take on that big a thing without doing it nationwide and without having a carefully thought out, coordinated way of paying for it. I envision kind of a big expansion of Medicare and make it Medicare for everybody. But we all have to understand what we're getting into, and we have to have our national legislature do this, not the state.
Thank you very much. Now we're ready for question number 4. Mari, you'll take the first one. I have a very hard time seeing my primary care doctor when I need to. I am shunted to urgent care, and then when I need the follow-up from my doc, I can't get in for 10 days. How do you propose to redress this?
Well, this is a gnarly one because this is a problem from time to time, and I think more recently with the changes in the clinics, I am hearing this. Recently, we've had a consultative group come in to help improve access through our clinics, and as most of you know, that we do own and operate most of the clinics in Jefferson County. It is being worked on. One of the issues is change is hard. Change is difficult when you've practiced in a certain manner for years and you know how you want to practice. It is difficult to change. Secondly, insurances do not want to pay. In fact, nobody wants to pay for 40-minute visits anymore. So when we are cut down to, and this is another issue that is part of this problem, when you're cut down and pay, the time is cut down and then the provider cannot adequately feel that he or she is doing a good job, it's difficult. The providers want to do the best they can for our patients. They do take their time, and I think this is the reason why we haven't been able to get as many slots open as we would like to. We are working on it, and we will continue to work on it. Thank you.
Case?
I think it's extremely important to remember the role of the hospital commissioners. And the type of question, and I've heard this question in my doorbelling when I talk to people about their health care, I've heard the same comment or question numerous times. I know that it's a problem. But it isn't really the responsibility of the hospital commissioners to fix that problem. That's the responsibility of the CEO and their staff. The hospital commissioners are supposed to set the strategic plans with the measurable goals and objectives. And some of those should be what is the lead time that we expect, that we accept for getting additional appointments? What is the level of satisfaction? How much time do providers need to see their patients? The hospital contracted with a group called the Coleman Associates, Coleman Group. They came in and they studied patient flow in the clinics. They made a tremendous number of recommendations and adjustments, many of them that currently require some minor changes. And so in order to continue to provide adequate care and time for the providers, I have heard from the physicians how difficult it is to comply with these quote, current requirements of how scheduling is done. What the providers need now is further support to figure out how can they adjust that system to, again, meet the patient's needs and their own needs. Again, it all has to do with how well the administration supports the people in the front line who are seeing the patients and taking care of them. And that could be part of the strategic plan with measurable goals and objectives that the governing board should make.
Thank you. Chuck?
Well, one of the first things I learned when I became a hospital commissioner was I'm not here to tell providers how to practice medicine. I don't know a damn thing about it. And they've studied many years to know how to do that. I have been through clinic experiences since the Coleman Group has worked, and the Coleman Group didn't really come in there and tell them how to practice medicine either, but they showed them ways that patients could be moved through the system without compromising medical care and working together better. This change is always difficult and threatening. I remember especially when Epic came through and everybody was learning a whole new method of keeping patient records, and it was really hard. And, boy, I was wondering if it was going to happen. But changing the way you've done something your whole career is very difficult. And I think Epic, we recovered from that. We've had a major upgrade of Epic since then, and that was relatively painless. And I think we will find changes in the way the clinics run to be more and more painless.
Thank you. Paul?
I think that ultimately problems with making appointments, getting in to see a provider really comes down to the district's ability to both recruit and retain physicians to have them working here in the county. As Case mentioned, that's not necessarily the job of the commission, where we don't hire physicians directly. We're not bringing them in, but to create an environment where physicians want to come work here and they want to stay working here, I think would help resolve a lot of those problems.
Thank you. Okay, question number six. We start with Chuck. In California, commissioners would be limited to two terms. Isn't there a big advantage to getting new people on the board?
Good question for me. But to tell you the truth, the motto of my opponent, which is seems to be it's time for a change, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I only plan to have one more term, but I would like to have that one more term, and I think I'm still very capable of being a good commissioner. There's a long learning curve in healthcare, and I haven't got clear over the curve yet, but I've learned a lot since I've been here, and I think my knowledge can be useful. And term limits, there are time and place for some term limits, but I don't think this is one of them.
Thank you. Paul?
I agree. I think there are a lot of places where term limits may be appropriate. I think that's more in the case when you're talking about a full-time career political position. I don't know that something on the level of this type of commission that's necessary or appropriate. I think people should serve based on who the public think will do the best job.
Thank you. Maury?
Yeah, this is an interesting one because sometimes I feel that there should be some restriction on terms of not only hospital commissions but other political positions. We've had three changes on the board in the last four elections for a hospital commission. I was a nurse there for 26 years. I knew a lot about the hospital. I thought I did. I also ran because I thought I could make it better. And believe me, there is a steep learning curve. And I don't know how anybody who's not actually been either involved in long-term or has worked in a hospital has any clue about some of the issues. We don't make decisions as to what piece of equipment to acquire or, as Paul said just now, you know, hiring physicians or anything like that. But it is a steep learning curve. In the last four elections, three changes. And it's always takes a couple of years at least to get the idea of what's going on. If you've never been a commissioner before, it's very difficult. So I do support in some circumstances, but I think having a stable board for one more term would make a huge difference to the progress that we're making and bringing in more specialists and doing a much better job for our patients.
Thank you. Case?
Well, first, yes, I do think it's time for change. I do agree that the current commissioners have done a lot of work and that there are a tremendous number of improvements, and I want to thank them for the service that they have provided. And I also believe that it does take, as Mari said, probably takes 2 years to really get to know. I mean, that's what they say about any job, is that you really can't get into it entirely until you've done it for 2 years. On the other hand, I am a firm believer in term limits. I think that, and I'm not saying how many terms, but I do think that it is good to have new blood come in, fresh ideas, so that any board doesn't become comfortable with being on the board. I instituted term limits when I first became president of Jefferson Land Trust here in Jefferson County. And so I'm a firm believer that term limits are extremely useful because that way you get fresh ideas coming in, and it's amazing what that does. It's sort of I've seen it at the commissioners' meetings here. I've seen the contribution that Matt Reddy has made to the commission. I think it's been fabulous to have new ideas coming from Matt. Again, it challenges some of the older beliefs and older positions. And therefore, I do favor term limits.
Thank you.
You're listening to the debate amongst the candidates for Hospital Commissioner Jefferson County. This is Campaign 2015, KPTZ 91.9 FM.
Now we have question number 7. I'm going to need some help with this. It says, do you support UFCW21?
And where do we start?
We start with Paul.
I'm really not sure how to answer that question and the general there. But what I can say is that at one point in my life, I was a union member. I've never belonged to a public sector union. And I do believe that all workers do have the right to organize as they see fit. As to whether or not I'm a supporter, I do not know what the exact demands of said union are.
Mari?
Well, I actually agree with Paul. I have been a member of several unions, the Transport and General Workers Union in England, believe it or not, the Royal College of Midwives, Royal College of Nurses, UFCW here, two different unions, and unions do have a place in the workplace. I neither support or not support because in the governance position that commissioners are, we're not involved in union negotiations, which are coming up pretty soon, I believe. It's an operations, that's to do with operations, which is the purview of the CEO. The job of the commission is to appoint the CEO, and I believe the RCW reads, and he has the responsibility and control of operations. So I neither support or not support because I think unions do a good job and help in the workplace throughout the country, and it's not necessarily just here. So that's the answer.
Thank you. Keith?
I do believe in the right of all workers to unionize. I believe it's extremely important that all employees have a collective voice in negotiations. I've actually gone to the website of the UFCW21 and I'm delighted to see that they are a very active, very strong statewide union that advocates, in my opinion, for very reasonable conditions for the people that they represent. They represent workers in all different kinds of industries, including Safeway, QFC, the county, and hospital employees. I believe they have some 45,000 workers in Washington State whom they represent. And I think it's extremely important for the CEO to understand that the policy of the board is that workers have a right to unionize, and they should be supported in their ability to do that. That said, Mari is correct. The governing board should not get involved in the negotiations, but the governing board should definitely make sure that employees are encouraged and allowed to work without any prevention of their being involved with a strong local union.
Chuck?
Well, I've never been a member of a union. I've just never had that kind of a position before. But I grew up in a union family. My father was a locomotive engineer, and the Railroaders Union is and was very strong. I've never had a closed-door policy as far as having employees come and talk to me about their problems and their grievances, but I certainly wouldn't take any part in union negotiations. That's not my job. State law spells out that our primary responsibility as commissioners is to hire and fire the CEO. That's the only responsibility that it specifically lists. And we delegate quite a bit of things with our approval to the CEO. But we can always exercise our discretion.
Thank you. And the last question, which may have been answered, question about the single payer. What if the single payer health care plan is delayed, how would you keep the local health care affordable?
One of the things that we're currently doing is participating in several of Governor Inslee's Healthier Washington. We're collaborating with other entities in the community, as in the public health, the Jefferson County Public Health, Jefferson County Mental Health Services. As for keeping it affordable, as probably many of you know, we have a high percentage of senior citizens. 70% of our payers is a government payment, is almost like a three-quarter single payer with Medicare and Medicaid. We are going to be be able to take care of our veterans soon. So how to keep things affordable? If we can provide the services, the quality, safety, and the specialists that will bring also people who have commercial insurance to our doors, that will help subsidize, unfortunately we have to use that word, subsidize and help us take care at a more affordable rate.
Thank you. Case?
The next few years are going to see a tremendous change in terms of how hospitals are reimbursed for the care they provide. And I know that Jefferson Healthcare is currently in negotiations with several other hospital districts in order to take advantage of the opportunities that are coming forward. Some of those have to do with reimbursing hospital districts for the number of patients or the number of people in the community that they are supposed to serve. So it will actually be a capitated and or prepaid amount of money in order to meet all of the health needs of a community of people. So fee-for-service versus a capitation, these are things that we're not quite sure how those are going to work out in the next couple of years, but I think that the hospital needs to stay on top of that, and I believe that they currently are negotiating some agreements with other entities. I think partnering with many different entities in the community is very important, whether it's Jefferson Mental Health, the Health Department, the YMCA. All of these different entities in the community need to be brought to the table to address the issue of affordable access to care. And that's what the community health improvement plans that are mandated by the Affordable Care Act, that's what they're all about. They're all about bringing all of the partners to the table to identify the problem, the gaps in service, the funding opportunities, the partnerships, the goals for improvement during the next 5 to 10 years. And so I think that we are going to see a lot of changes, and I think Jefferson Healthcare needs to be right there at the table figuring out how best to continue to survive financially and provide more affordable care.
Thank you. Chuck?
That was good, Case. And we've already done quite a bit of it as far as associating with the YMCA and other community groups to further health care in this community. I think a big step, and I didn't think it would be, but a big step that we've made is the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, that has provided health care insurance for a lot of people in this community that wouldn't have had it otherwise. And I'm glad to see it working as well as it is.
Thank you. Paul?
I really agree with a lot of what everyone else has just said, and I would just add that one of the things that could really be done to help is to partner with other organizations, agencies, and to really work on preventative care, because one of the easiest ways to lower the cost of care is to not have people getting sick in the first place.
Thank you very much. We are going to wrap up and go to the one-minute closing statements. Since we started with Case, we can start with Mari this time.
Well, first of all, I would like to, in my closing statement, just ask you to vote for me. I'm passionate about this community, Jefferson County. It is my home. I've lived here almost half of my life. This is my family. I've birthed half of the residents here probably at one time or another because I feel like Methuselah in that direction. I work hard for you. And even though we might not always agree on what is in the best interest or how we can do things to the best of our ability, I will try, and I really do try. And sometimes my husband says, I am trying. I just want to go back to what the gentleman on the end, Mr. Clough, was saying. It was not our mandate as a critical access hospital to do the community assessment, but we joined with the health department, and we funded it, and the health department did it. And nothing much happened. None of the local agencies stepped up and started doing anything with the four needs that were identified. So we tasked the director of our PI in Lean to start that process. That's why it was delayed. Thank you.
Paul?
Hi. having grown up here in Jefferson County, moved away for a while, and then having returned as an adult to live back near my family again, I care deeply about the quality of life here, and I think one of the most important aspects of that is our healthcare system. If you vote for me, I just promise that I will do my best to make sure we have the best healthcare system available. I would say that if you really believe that things are going in the right direction and you're happy, you should vote for your current commissioners. If you would like to see some changes, I ask that you consider me. Thank you.
Thank you. Chuck?
Well, I feel a kind of a deep emotional attachment to our hospital. I wasn't born and raised here, but I have lived here since the early 70s, and I counted it up the other day, and five generations of my family have been patients in this hospital, and I feel it's an extremely important part of our community, and I want to see it survive and thrive. And to finish my second campaign promise after the first, where I work for the owners, my second promise is that I will not accept any contributions. I don't think people should have to pay for their representatives.
Thank you. Keith?
Well, I've worked in the front lines providing health care to underserved populations. I've helped develop strategic plans and have helped build strong organizations. I believe firmly in our hospital district, that it provides a vital service to all of this county. I believe that I can represent the interests of everyone in this county if I serve on the Hospital Commission Board. I think we need a financially sound hospital with good staff who get adequately supported in order to want to stay here and continue to provide the high quality of health care that they want to provide and that they're desperately trying to provide. The reason that they continue to recommend, even under difficult circumstances, that people come to the hospital is because they are professional and they provide good care. And when I go in to see my provider, he or she does not complain. And therefore, I think we need to continue to support them. So I hope you vote for me. It's time for change. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a 10-minute break. Thank you all for coming and participating.
Well, you were listening to the debate for Jefferson County Hospital Commissioner, sponsored by the League of Women Voters, the American Association of University Women, and the Port Townsend Leader. In tonight's debate, you heard incumbents Maury Dressler and Chuck Russell, and challengers Case Clough and Paul Stafford. The moderator for the debate was Catherine Buchanan. The engineer for this show is Bill Putney. Hats off to Bill. Thank you for your extraordinary dedication and time you put into this effort. Nora Petrich, our station manager, and, of course, kudos always to Larry Stein, our program director. This has been your host, Peter Guerrero, for Campaign 2015 on KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend, Washington. You can find our debates also as podcasts on our website, kptz.org. And please don't forget to vote. Ballots go out October 15th and are due back no later than Election Day.